So really, like, if it wasn't for the group efforts, and still the group efforts, the continuous efforts of journalists, activists, investors, old Louisville could look just like, you know, every other part of Louisville or any other part of, you know, the country, really, where you got like those paper mache houses that are just kind of, you know, built to fall or whatever. Like, this done lasted a flood, you know, that great tornado back in the 60s or whatever. It's definitely a testament to how unique it is, that area, definitely.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Interest of the greater good, we need to smoke a joint and calm down.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Ville Chillin' Podcast. Today, we want to talk about one of the oldest and, I guess, most prominent, especially architecturally, regions of our wonderful city. We're talking about Old Louisville. So, this idea came to me when I was just kind of researching just Louisville in general, you know, just reading up on it. I didn't realize like how prominent Old Louisville really is when compared to other neighborhoods like it around the nation. And by that, I mean, it is the largest collection of Victorian mansions in the United States. So the largest historical district in the United States featuring Victorian architecture, which is pretty amazing. There's the Old Louisville Neighborhood Council has existed for over 40 years, and they just kind of keep trying to do more and more to advocate for the preservation, working in the community, putting on events, and just raising money to keep restoring as much as possible the whole area.
You know, I guess like when you grow up around here, you kind of take it for granted. You're just kind of used to those kind of style, you know, buildings and houses. And the thing is, like, in a lot of most neighborhoods, those went away, you know, throughout the country because they didn't have that council. You know, that neighborhood council had a lot to do with keeping these buildings preserved and keep them going. And, you know, that's why we're able to, you know, enjoy it and kind of see it throughout the city.
And there's a lot of stuff to do. They have guided tours, so you can see some of the main attractions of the neighborhood. And then they have some of our favorite, like, bars and restaurants, right? I mean, between Mag Bar and, you know, the Pizza Danisi. And then I haven't been to Ollie's Trolley, but I've heard nothing but good things, you know, for burgers and fries.
Dude, their fries are dro.
And there's diners and everything, but then you got 610 Magnolia, which if you look at it on Google Maps or whatever, it literally just looks like another little shotgun house, you know. But it, I think his name is Edward Lee. He runs he's the executive chef, and it is one of the fancier places I know of in Louisville, especially in that area. It's, you know, one of those tasting menu, 5 or 7 course tasting menu type places. You're paying over $100 to experience the tasting menu. And it's supposed to be pretty phenomenal. I'm pretty sure he is a Michelin star chef. So
definitely a pinkies up fancy kind of place.
Yep. It's really cool. But so Old Louisville is a historic district and neighborhood, of course, in Louisville. It's the third largest historic district in the United States, like just historic district, and the largest preservation featuring Victorian architecture, like we mentioned. It says it's also unique in that a majority of its structures are made of brick, and the neighborhood contains the highest concentration of residential homes with stained glass windows in the U.S., which I find that pretty interesting, personally. That's kind of crazy. I always think of, you know, churches when I think stained glass, and it specifically says residential homes. So it spans about 48 city blocks just north of U of L, And it one of the major things around the city people probably go there for is the St. James Art Show. I know people I work with go every year, and I think St. James Art Show is like the largest outdoor art show in the United States, if I'm not mistaken. More than 700 artisans from various locations throughout the Americas draws 300,000 people, and a third of them are from out of state. So that's, wow. Yeah, that's pretty huge. I mean, that's pretty, it reaches a lot of people, and it gives a lot of people a place to showcase their art and their work, you know? Pretty amazing.
And you was talking about those stained glasses reminding you of churches too. I mean, there is a lot of churches down there too concentrated. I mean, it was just talking about that on the with St. James, you know, it is surrounded by all those different kind of, you know, Victorian style churches as well.
Yeah. So it was built in like the 1850s to the 1920s. And even though it's not actually the oldest part of Louisville, it's still kind of the oldest we get to see. Now, you know, in 1839, there was a Oakland racetrack built near 7th Street in Ormsby, which was an early forerunner to Churchill Downs. So there's derby history that happened in Old Louisville. And it's it's really just amazing when you kind of look into the whole history of it. The Southern Exposition was held annually from 1883 to 1887. And the Southern Expedition was a world fair, right? And I think when we looked at it, it said it went on for 100 days each year on 45 acres south of Central Park. That's huge. Wow. That's wild. President Chester A. Arthur opened the first annual exposition on August 1st, 1883. And for that time period, it was the largest American exposition in the country, wow, with the exception of the Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia in 1876. So, pretty phenomenal. You know, we've talked before when we talked about, you know, people of Kentucky, we haven't done an episode on them, but we've mentioned that Thomas Edison lived here for a while, right?
Yeah, long-time resident. I mean, 16, you know, almost 20 years.
Yeah, and so he chose the Southern Exposition to debut, or I guess, you know, show off the light bulb. The first light bulb was shown off at the Southern Exposition here in our humble little city of, nice, Louisville.
Hey, I mean, that's awesome too. You know, a lot of times when people think of, you know, Louisville or, you know, like Kentucky, they don't necessarily think of the most, you know, technologically advanced necessarily. You know, what comes to mind is usually, you know, more like California and things like, mm-hmm, that. But I mean, lighting up the world started, you know, here in Louisville. I mean, that's amazing, you know. And on top of that, you got the biggest art festival in the world right there. You got the outdoor, you know, biggest outdoor art festival, the biggest horse race.
Mm-hmm.
So on top of that, the oldest buildings, historical buildings on it. So, I mean, a lot of things are happening there. You know, that I really took for granted, to be honest. I just now found out, you know,
same,
that it's all kind of condensed right there.
Same. Yeah. And I mean, you talk about condensed. We saw further down in the article, it's literally 1.7 square miles. You know, that's,
you could throw a rock and hit the other side.
Like, pretty much. It's pretty insane, like, how much history really is here in our city that most people do take for granted just because, you know, most people think it's just Kentucky. Yeah. It's mountains, hillbillies, and bourbon. Moonshine. But
which it is, but it's also five-star restaurants and, or three-star restaurants, five-star hotels, and,
right,
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali, the GOAT. The GOAT. So, yeah, I mean, a lot really happened here throughout the 1800s. Historical societies have been built to research all of it and everything. And the decline started kind of around the Great Depression. And with cars becoming more available to people who have more means and more money, and then even, you know, the trolley lines and stuff, people didn't have to live in old Louisville to get to their jobs. So they started kind of moving out, moving around. And then another major thing that happened was the flood, the Ohio River flood of 1937, which 385 people died in, and 1 million people were left homeless, and property losses reached $500 million at the time in 1937. Today, adjusted for inflation, that's $10.2 billion of property damage.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That's why they created FEMA.
Practically, like, man. Dude, the water levels began to rise January 5th, 1937, and it just kept getting worse and worse. Record rainfalls were recorded January 13th to 24th. Martial law was declared in Evansville, where the water was at 54 feet high. That's insane. That's like surfer wave height. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's big.
Like, I remember my grandma talking about that too. I mean, I think people really thought it was like the end of the world. Like, it really was like some kind of like Noah type stuff.
I believe it, man. I'd be terrified. I mean, just looking at the picture here on Wikipedia, you know, it's like the buildings are half underwater.
And it wasn't, you know, you didn't have a cell phone or anything. You know, it wasn't like you have internet, so you couldn't get any information. You don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't only affect here, of course. That flood was stretched from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to Cairo, Illinois. So it was huge, but we definitely got hit by it quite a lot as well. The river cut off power to WHAS radio station. Just all kinds of damage and everything. They sent out the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to try to help. And I mean, just tons of damage. So old Louisville got hit by that. A lot of people moved out so that they could get above the floodplain. And just a really catastrophic event. But it kind of really resonates and speaks to the determined nature of Louisville, and especially once the Historic Society started going, to bring it back. You know what I mean? But once a lot of people moved out, and after the flood, you know, between World War I and World War II, a lot of those old mansions and houses were converted into apartments to house the growing labor supply. So that's why you see so many duplexes, triplexes, quads, and all that stuff there. And so after World War II, with the housing shortage solved by large-scale developments affordable to the middle class, vacancy rates in old Louisville really surged. So a lot of renters and, you know, landlords had to lower rent to get people to move in.
And so you got to think World War One, a Great Depression, a flood, another war.
Yeah. And I mean,
the suburbs are being created down the street. So yeah, they didn't really have a lot then.
Yeah. And so, even though it's still the largest, you know, Victorian architecture in the U.S., some of the buildings were torn down to build No Middle and expand on DuPont Manual. So, the fact that so much has persisted through the years is just insane. The historic preservation started with Courier Journal writer J. Douglas Nunn, and in 1960 he began a public information campaign about the area, comparing it to neighborhoods like Washington, D.C.'s Georgetown and Boston's Beacon Hill. In 1961, he took a leave of absence and started Restoration Incorporated, a group that restored 10 homes in Old Louisville's Belgravia Court in 1961, which spurred more and more interest. And throughout various activist efforts, the area was made into a historic preservation district in 1975. And since then, it's just continued to get better, get, you know, preserved more and more, built on more and more. The median home value more than doubled between 1990 and 2000.
Wow.
And you can see it when you look at prices of those buildings now are for sale. It's wild.
So really, like, if it wasn't for the group efforts, and still the group efforts, the continuous efforts of journalists, activists, investors, old Louisville could look just like, you know, every other part of Louisville or any other part of, you know, the country, really, where you got like those paper mache houses that are just kind of, you know, built to fall or whatever. Like, this done lasted a flood, you know, that great tornado back in the 60s or whatever. It's definitely a testament to how unique it is, that area, definitely.
Yeah, it's really cool too, because like the different, for being such a small space, and by small space, you know, 2 square miles, there's literally different societies, and each little area kind of has its own layer, if you will. Down here, well, for one, it's broken up into regions by the U.S. Census Bureau. That tells you how densely packed it is with people. It's like 14,000 people in that 2.5, or that less than two, it's a 1.7 square mile area. So definitely pretty crazy. 7,800 persons per square mile. And it's split up into 5 different, like, I guess, districts by the Census Bureau. But right here is where what I was talking about. There's 8 different neighborhood associations, each providing different levels of infrastructure on each street. For example, 4th Street, the streetlights are designed as an old lamppost, and there are ornamented trash cans with the fleur-de-lis symbol. St. James Court, there are gas lampposts, and on 3rd and 2nd Streets, there's small light posts on the sidewalks. Orbecker Court has cast iron decorative gates. You know, and this is all just in a 1.7 square mile area. So it's really cool. It's like they're kind of preserving, each little area is preserving a different piece of history and how that all started and how it became what it is. Another brag, Old Louisville features the largest collection of pedestrian-only streets of any U.S. neighborhood.
So if you're someone that doesn't like driving and you, you know, prefer to walk from, you know, your destinations and stuff, you know, for your commute, then, I mean, that's the place to be.
Yeah, there's 11 such courts where houses face each other across a grass median with sidewalks. Most of them are centered off 4th Street, but yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. And a lot of it is unique to Louisville. So, you know, just one more attraction for our city is just the architecture and how the city was built, at least in Old Louisville.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you get a DUI and you can't drive, I mean, that's the place to be. You can, you know, walk to Magbar. You're good to go.
Get a slice of pizza next door. If you're feeling fancy because you can't drive and pay for insurance, you just go to 610 Magnolia.
Right. Just be careful. I mean, that the cars always be hitting the side of it, though, dude. Have you seen that?
Like
the
Magbar? Cars that keep, that's a whole meme.
Right.
There will be a picture of a car badly wrecked in Louisville, and they're like, oh, what's Magbar look like?
Right.
But yeah, it's right by Central Park, which is a huge park here in the city. It has a lot of different amenities. Central Park actually features the Kentucky Shakespeare Festival every year, which is the largest Shakespearean festival in the country, I believe. Actors Theater of Louisville Production Studio is in Old Louisville. A Louisville author, Alice Hegan Rice, actually sold a best-selling novel, Mrs. Wiggs of the Cabbage Patch. And today there's actually a nonprofit that counsels and services children of low-income families called the Cabbage Patch Settlement House. During Christmas holidays, a number of the houses, you know, they turn into a holiday home tour where I guess they kind of decorate and they do house tours of the different houses. They're doing a lot to really pull in the funding, pull in the money and everything. And one thing that's really cool is the Conrad Caldwell House.
We got an advertisement.
Of course we do. There's been a few of those.
It's Hero Wars. For anybody who didn't see the visual, it's Hero Wars, available on Android and iPhone. We're not advertising that. Yeah. YouTube did that. It's in the background.
YouTube did that. Yeah, we didn't ask them to. But yeah, there's a lot that just happens in such a small place. It's really cool. And the Conrad Caldwell House is huge. It's like a castle.
Dude, that's creepy. That little doll in the corner, though. Like, for anybody that's not watching, there's like this old, like, Victorian. It looks like a porcelain doll in the corner on the chair. It looks like it's about to, like,
yeah,
do something creepy.
But yeah, so you can see just how big the Conrad Caldwell House is.
I always thought it was a church or a castle or something when I was a kid. I didn't even know what that was.
It's based on, like, Romanesque architecture, apparently. And it's really cool. Created in 1895 by Louisville architect Arthur Loomis. This, yeah, Richardsonian Romanesque castle stands as an ornament to the city of Louisville.
Dude, if they ever, like, remake, like, Dracula or something, that's the place they need to do
They should do it there. Hell yeah. And so they do a bunch of stuff at the Caldwell House. They have Oaks Day brunch. They have an indoor Victorian garden. They do all kinds of stuff. And one thing that's really cool, outside of just the standard tours they do all year, and of course the Christmas stuff, is the haunting. There's a haunting at the Caldwell, or the Conrad Caldwell House, apparently. And they do tours. And it's got to be creepy. You know, for one, you're already transported back in time just being in the area. But not just the Conrad Caldwell House, which it says you tour the home guided only by the soft glow of lamps that illuminate the 10,000 square foot home. The whole old Louisville area is known for hauntings. There's actually the Louisville Historic Tours puts on an annual Victorian ghost walk every year around Halloween. So just so much history, you know, and apparently history is still there and they won't go away.
Yeah, they got tickets on sale. Like, you can show up. You don't need a ticket to walk down the street.
Yeah, just hang out, wait for them to start moving, and just follow them. You know, it's, they can't tell you no. Oh man. But yeah, it's just amazing to me how much really happens in such a small condensed place that I never really knew about, you know what I mean? And it's really cool that we keep finding stuff like this. The more we continue this show and keep doing it and keep reading up and keep, you know, following up on stuff, you know, we'll start talking about one thing and end up learning something like this. You know, yeah. The greatest, you know, the third largest historic preservation area in the United States, the largest preservation area featuring predominantly Victorian architecture, the greatest, the largest area with residential homes with stained glass windows. I mean, yeah, that's kind of small stuff, but then you look at the St. James Court Art Show, like we talked about, largest outdoor art show in the United States. You had Edison's revealing of the light bulb at the Southern Expo, which is a world fair spanning 100 days. That's huge.
A lot of history. Yeah, if I was a photographer, like, I feel like this would be the place to be, like, especially just that spot specifically, you know.
For sure. With all
the architecture in the buildings, like, definitely take it for granted.
Yep. Or a landlord, as we know from recent years. That's a major thing, since it all got turned into apartments and stuff. But it's just really cool. It's really cool to drive through. It's really cool to just see and witness. And it's just a really, there's one of those courts it was talking about. I guess that's probably considered a street right here. You know, there's just grass, sidewalks, trees.
Stained glass windows.
Exactly. But no cars. So a really, really cool place. It's really awesome that people took the time to get it considered a historic preservation. And the accolades that have followed it since then is just awesome. to me and a testament to the resilience, the respect, and, you know, just the, I don't know, just the spirit of the city of Louisville. We're just here to preserve and respect everything that's come before us, and appreciate, you know, where all of it started.
Definitely keep it preserved, keep it going. Like, that's the way to do it.
I think that's all we got on this one. At least that's all I got. You got anything to add?
Nope, I think that's it.
I guess with that one, be on the lookout for the upcoming series for the 7 days of Derby coming up soon. And with that, we will catch y'all next time.
Yep.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Enter for the greater good. We need to smoke a joint and calm down.
I'm great. And if you keep talking, guys, I'm going to tell you the facts.